This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 24th, 2021. The Memorial of St. Andrew Zungla and His Companions by Father William Doc Holliday.
Do not meditate beforehand how to answer.
The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There's a word that's used by St. Luke in Greek that is not used anywhere else in the New Testament when he says, don't meditate beforehand on how to answer. It's actually a word that is used in the context of rehearsing a stage play. It's used here because the Holy Spirit wants to, speaking through St. Luke, let us understand that we are not to be stage actors, so to speak. We are not supposed to rehearse things. We don't use talking points. Let's use that term because we all understand that in our day and age, political discourse. We as Christians don't use talking points. We are not supposed to do this. We are supposed to be articulating our faith through not just what we say, but how we live our lives. We are to be proving things. And this is what our Lord speaks about through St. Paul when he wants us to understand, or St. Luke, when he wants us to understand that we are not to just memorize things and regurgitate them. We are actually supposed to engage with particularly those whom would persecute us. We are to use our mouths and our wisdom. This is what the Holy Spirit goes on to say in this gospel. He says that he will give us a mouth by which to speak. He will give us wisdom. We have this tendency to use our mouths very frequently in this world. We should really watch how we use our mouth. We should be very sparing in its use. But when we use it, again, if we're not considering things, we can fall into this where we just repeat things all the time. Christians, in the purest and practical sense, we have to approach our mouths by understanding that when we say things, we're not to say things just because. For instance, like I said, if you're practical about things, if you're living your faith, the answer is not always the same. Okay, the answer that you give to one person may be in a context different than that of another person. We just don't throw out a talking point. Like, for instance, when you go in a lot of churches and all you ever hear are two words, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy, when we're not hearing about things like bishop appeals and this, that, or the other things. It's just about grace and mercy all the time. Those are Christian talking points. The other talking points, and you hear this throughout Christendom, you hear about, in addition to grace and mercy, we hear of Jesus loves you unconditionally. Sounds great, but guess what? This book is nothing but conditions. If you do this, you will be blessed. If you don't do that or do this, you will be cursed. This is replete with conditions. There is never this whole, you will be judged unconditionally. That's what judgment is. Judgment is the conditions that our Lord sifts through to see as to whether or not we've obliged ourselves to do what he wants us to do. You hear, for instance, what's another one? That everybody's a child of God. Well, in a creative sense, that is true, but not in a salvific sense. That is not true. Do we not hear in the last gospel that's read at the end of almost every single Mass that we hear? Every single Mass, the Gospel of John, the first part of John, it says, to those who believe in him, he gave power to become the sons of God. So if he has to give you the power to become a son of God, what does that mean that before your belief, you were not? Everybody, he created everything. Like I said, as far as creation goes, this is a fact. But I don't think you want to consider yourself a child of God the same as a tree is a child of God. That's in creation too. He created that too. Talking points. Talking points that make people feel good as opposed to communicating the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to live a life with talking points, shame on you. You need to learn what he wants us to say, because when he gives us a mouth, it also means fortitude to use it properly. Fortitude to present the truths of the gospel to people. I mean, he's providing us in this passage fortitude. He wants us to be strong in the faith, no matter what the situation may be. I mean, what is it? The whole passage is a warning. It provides us a warning. It gives us a heads up. It doesn't say, you might be persecuted, or you might be delivered up. It says, you will. You will. Throughout the Bible, you will be delivered up. You will, you may find tribulation in the world. In this world, you will have tribulation. But fear not, I've overcome the world. You know, we got to be straight up with people. This world isn't a nice place. That's another talking point. Everybody's basically good. No, they're not. That is not scriptural anthropology, what we should understand about ourselves. It is a fact that we are sin, cursed, and fallen. Even under the best of conditions, after our baptism, we still struggle with concupiscence, temptations in this world. And a lot of times we fall because we're weak. He's warning us about this. He wants to give his head up. And some of you, not everybody, and some of you, they will put to death. That happens. It's happening all over the world right now with Christians. Look at Nigeria. Powers that be in this country, civil powers that be in this country, remove that country from a list of places where they persecute religions. But they're killing Christians left and right there every week. They take big groups and they kidnap them. Some they kill, some they ransom off. It's just like the old days over there. They don't even get this North American Pollyannish thing. Well, we don't face that kind of stuff anymore. We nothing. Those of us who live here may not currently. I'd say go to Canada. They're burning churches down left and right up there. This will happen. We got a heads up. You should. Oh, whoa, I can't believe this is happening. Jesus warned you. You will be hated for my name's sake. Some of you may be put to death, but you will be hated for my sake. If you're doing the right thing, the world's not going to like you. Guess what? They're going to hate you. So the powers that be that want everybody to get along okay, they're not paying attention to Jesus' admonitions here. We hear directly from the Holy Spirit, you will be hated for my name's sake. If you're not hated, I mean some by their own family members. I mean a lot of us by your own family members. Think about hatred. It doesn't mean they're going to kill you or anything. They don't want to be around you. You're rigid. You become a fanatic. Thank you. Thank you. That's what our Lord wants us to be. We have an obligation to him. So he gives us fortitude. He says he's going to provide for us. I will give you a mouth. And that just doesn't mean talking. I would say, first and foremost, it means acting like you truly believe what you say you believe. So he'll give you the fortitude to do that, and he will give you wisdom. Both of those things are fruits of the Spirit, by the way. Fortitude, that mouth that he does, he obliges you to use it, and wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, and wisdom has a foundation for us. It's in Scripture. It's in Scripture. If you don't know the Scriptures, you don't know the correct things to say to people. This is a big problem in our day. People like to chapter and verse this and that or other thing that sounds palatable to the world who's supposed to hate us in the first place. We're not supposed to use God's truth to make them like us. You can do that if you pick out a chapter and a verse here and there and throw that out to them, like everybody's a child of God and grace and mercy. All those things are very true, but not to the negation of the other parts of the truth. because it's got to be the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God. We say that when we go to court. How much more should we live our lives in the court of God's justice? He'll give us wisdom. He's given us the scriptures. We have to learn them. We have to learn them because you find a certain point where the naysayers, this gospel, if you don't know God's word, and you have to know the whole thing, he says in this passage, not a hair of your head will perish. God's truth, not a hair of your head will perish. But some of you will be put to death. Oh, look at that, contradiction in the Bible. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. Some of you will be put to death in a biological sense. You'll be put to death, but you will not perish. Not a hair of your head will perish. Look at that. It's talking about eternity there. It's not a contradiction. Because he goes on to say, the last verse, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. That's the marching orders right there. By your endurance, you're gaining your endurance in the fortitude to speak and live a life of faith, and also the wisdom to ground this life of faith. Not something subjectively or arbitrarily you come up with. Oh, that's the way I think. No, it doesn't work like that for us. You don't get to pick and choose. It's not you and your Bible. It's not you and the Holy Spirit. It's you relating to God through the institution of the church that he established. That's the obligation. When he says, by your endurance, you will gain your life, the obligation to die rather than offend God. You think about that one for a minute, to die rather than offend God. And you got people in the church in very high offices. Oh, that sin's okay. Just this week, I was like, that's my common thing now. Just this week, and what is it, Wednesday? What do I read a couple days ago? You know, talking about a sin that is an abomination before God. You have a cleric in the Catholic Church, a very high-ranking cleric. What does he say? Oh, we need to accompany these people, and we need to look at them the way God looks at them. If you need the scriptures, sir, you would know that God looks at them as an abomination. It says it time and time again. That's how he looks at them. And you're going to sit there and you're going to say, we need to look at them as God does. You don't even know how God looks at them, sir. That's the reality. And what does that mean? We treat them as if they're an abomination. If they don't repent, yes. Yes. But the message is repentance. This is the message of our Lord. This is the message of John, the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have an obligation to die rather than offend God. And have people in the church that are saying that offending God's okay. You need to accompany them on their offenses against God. Guess what? Romans 1 says that you will be held accountable just as they are. So their sins are unto death, and you deserve the same thing because you consent to them. This is what God's word says. That's just not politically correct. Are you throwing that stuff out anymore? It doesn't make it any less God's truth because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And Jesus Christ is the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And that's his word. Only those who persevere to the end will attain salvation. And perseverance means obliging ourselves to not offend him. People do it. Oh, it's impossible. No, it's not. It's like that whole thing, to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's not a suggestion. That's not a suggestion. And there would be an imperfection in God if Jesus Christ would tell us to do something that is impossible for us to do. It's not impossible for us. It's just very, very, very difficult for us to do it. It's a goal to which we strive. This is a reality. And people can do it. Now today, the memorial of the martyr Andrew Dung Lok, Vietnamese martyr. You don't know a whole lot about the Vietnamese martyrs or the Japanese martyrs. That's in Asia. You know, we don't hear about them like we hear about St. Ignatius Loyola or St. Francis or St. Dominic or anything like that. And plus, it was a little bit later, 18th century, when the martyr Andrew Dung Lok was killed. that throughout that time and up to this present day, Vietnamese people have been killed for the faith. What are they showing? They're showing their prudence. They're showing that they are not afraid by their wisdom and fortitude to proclaim God's truth to the shedding of their very blood. So this doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. They did it in Vietnam. They're doing it in Nigeria right now. And, you know, the way things are going, they may be doing it here in a few years. That's just a reality thing because they hate you. They better hate you or you're not doing this right. This is reality of things. We need to fulfill our obligation to God, not the way we think that it should be fulfilled, but the way He does. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.